Troy, is this going on YouTube?
I just went up and turned around.
Okay.
Just to get a...
Chris, that envelopes all the policies for the policy committee meeting.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Yes, at 9 a.m.
Can you check out what you
felt? Me too.
Well, okay, you mess with me and I'll make sure you and each other are awake.
So is Jason connected?
Jason is connected. I don't know. Nick, can you hear us?
No.
Nick.
I don't think you can.
No.
Can you see us?
I don't think you can see us either. Everybody wave.
No, I don't think you can see us because the green light's on.
Of their ends?
Because mm-hmm. It's Google. Nick, can you hear us?
I do now, yeah.
All right, sounds like a plan. Jason, you can hear us?
Yeah.
All right.
What is that noise? Is that
Jason's phone.
I'm on your phone.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jason, you want to call me in order? Or really, I don't even care, but... whatever you guys want to do. Okay. All right. So finance committee meeting. I'm just going to throw you on the other screen so I can switch on my calendar. Basically, tonight's agenda, we wanted to review Fund 80 stuff. The directive was given to me that I meet with all Fund 80 parts, participants, whatever you want to call them, and review expenditures. Not revenues. And then, hey Chris. And then, in addition to that, Jessica has proposed budget information for this next year. Do we have extras of any of this stuff?
If there's any extras, they're up there on
okay.
the table.
All right. Okay. So then at the last finance committee meeting, we talked about basically the deficit. We said we were between 1.2 and 1.6 at that time. We talked about the average property increases right around 9%, however, knowing that some are in the 30s. We talked about state aid share costs, options to decrease spending, mill rate versus tax dollars, the view on that. Annual meeting options, views of the public, operator referendum. Continued debt defeasance we also talked about, so that was a lot of what Nick presented. And then we just talked about current district finances and needs, where could we possibly cut, and then surveys that we could possibly send to the community, and then recommendations were around Fund 80, get Dean from CISA 8 involved, and the board should figure out a strategic path forward, and we kind of did that when Nick worked with the school board on that. So that's basically the minutes from the August 21st finance committee meeting. Any questions on that? All right. So I guess the first thing on the agenda is to really dive into Fund 80. And I think everybody in here has a Fund 80 discussions note. So let me see if I can bring that up. I'd rather not bring it up while I can see it. Nick, I don't know if you have this, but I will put it on the screen So you and Jason can see it, okay? My discussion with Ashley, we talked about the swimming pool and that we really have cut back on maintenance at the rec center this last year. All of the money has basically gone into the swimming pool, nearly all of it. So the back room turned into a $1 million room in the last 3 to 4 years. When we redid the filters, redid the backwash pumps, redid how the chemicals go into the rooms, etc., or into the pools. So that was a big project. Redid some of the boilers as well. And, you know, understanding that a lot of that equipment in there was 25 years old. And as soon as you cut one pipe, the state inspector comes and tells you exactly what other pipes you have to cut and what other things you have to do. So it all has to be state drafted, approved, etc. So we should be good on the pool for quite some time. When it comes to the annual budget at the rec center, Ashley explained that there is a cardio equipment rotation. Free weights, you really don't need to ever replace free weights unless they get broken. The free motion, those are the white machines right when you come into the rec center. She said those are about 15 years old. They have a 20 to 25 year lifespan. So she recommends, you know, maybe in, you know, 5 to 10 years looking at replacing that with all new ones. Staffing, she said, you know, when it comes to administration, et cetera, everything looks good. But, you know, if they were an adult would come in and say, can I lifeguard? She'd hire them tomorrow. Because right now her and Cindy are pulling lifeguard duty the majority of the day. This is from Ashley and talking to other school districts that have pools. It's just simply very expensive. We are still with the tiles, which is really, really good. The most expensive, you know, part of the pool is the tile work and the deck. It's held up really good. There's some cracking. I know at one time, Ben, the construction committee, looked at redoing it. It was not recommended for the amount it would cost.
For the dollars.
Yeah, and it would be really nice to replaster both pools because it would get away the iron stains, but it's more of an aesthetic thing than a need. So we haven't done that. And the other thing, just for the transparency of the group, 2 years ago, we moved 25% with permission of our actuary, accountant, what do we call it? Whatever, both. That 25% of the high school sewer, electrical, water bill could be moved to fund 80 because that was designated to the rec center. So that moved over to fund 80, so we would have more fund 10 money available to do our day-to-day operations. Any questions regarding the rec center? The pool is so expensive. I mean, that's what it is. Barb Ebert, Homework Club. Sorry, go ahead, Jason.
So, essentially, talking to Ashley, you really didn't find anything else other than what we're already currently doing and that she has done over the last year or two here?
Yeah, I mean, to put it simple, it, you know, that's just used about use the recoating the tiles in the bathrooms. You know, when we looked that over, it was getting nasty, and instead of pouring that rubber flooring, we decided to clean it, you know, with an acid wash and a resurfacing. You know, those are the types of things that I think we need to keep doing. The positive is it was built correct 25 years ago. They used good materials, so we just have to maintain it. It's not like things are falling apart. So, yeah, besides that, it's the, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 she wants to put in the budget every year to replace treadmills or, you know, whatever. And we have consultants that tell us when things are getting to end of life. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else, Rexy? So homework club, for transparency, it was originally started way before my time with the 21st Century Grant, way back in the day. It was, I think it was district-wide. I know for sure it was elementary, middle. Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think you were here when that started, right?
Yeah, elementary, middle.
Yeah, and we had administrators. We had a lot of teachers. It was an after-school program. It's now kind of morphed to be middle school, high school homework help after COVID. The elementary staff kind of said they wanted to take a little bit of a break and not be 100% committed to after-school programs. Okay, so it's currently run at the middle school and homework help and for enrichment. That costs us roughly $35,000 a year. Is that correct? And there's zero revenue from that at this point.
Do you no have revenue. Those figures for the rec center as well?
The rec center figures, I'm going to give you last year's data. We ran right around a $750,000 deficit. Now, those numbers will change a little bit now that we increased revenues, but not drastically.
And how much revenue did it generate?
Do you have those numbers offhand?
Yeah, I didn't bring that sheet. I'm sorry.
I know the original one said right around 230K. Operations was around 260K. Salary and benefits were right around 700.
Rec center revenue last year was 234,000.
Yeah.
So when you say we're operating at a 750,000 deficit, it means it costs $984,000 to run?
More than that. Oh, hold on. 960 and 980? Close to that.
Our expenses last year for Rec Center were like just under $1.1 million, but that's also because there was some like stuff that shouldn't have been included in Rec Center.
So take out the police
like
officer.
SRO and all that.
$980,000.
Yeah.
That's pretty close. Yeah. We're still straightening out some budget codes. So for some reason, the police liaison officer was included in the rec center.
Oh, there.
Yeah. Okay.
So back to the homework clubs, do we know how many kids are utilizing that?
Like tonight, I was down there for homework club. I would say there's right around 20. Yeah, they're trying to expand it any way they can. Greg Rose has always been there. Barb Ebert has always been there. You know, there's a couple other staff members that have always been there. But, you know, for the most part, it's robotics, puzzles, gaming, you know, those types of things. Yeah, I know that there's other schools that morphed theirs into it. They do like a two session and kids can get like reading intervention half the session and then they have fun time the other session or math or whatever. But right now our numbers are so low. Yeah. Any questions, other questions on homework club? We did apply for a grant, just so everybody is aware. We did not get the grant. And the reason that I was told is because they allocated the money to districts who did not have a club. So, you know, it's one of those things, so do we get rid of it for 3 years and then reapply? You know, I don't, it doesn't make sense. You know, but that's what we were told, why we didn't get the grants.
That's right. How about the kids that are failing classes?
There's homework help.
I'm saying, is there a way we can have those kids almost be like a mandatory?
There is one school district in Northeast Wisconsin that I am aware of that has mandatory summer school and homework help if a child has one or more F's. But that is community driven more than school driven. You can interpret that however you want. Because I don't know how you can force a kid to come to after school program.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Get numbers up, that'd be one way of doing it.
Yeah. All right. SRO crossing guards. I learned a lot in my research. The first thing is, Chief Freitag has a description of what a school resource officer should be doing, but we as a district do not. So Chief and I are reaching out to other schools, and beyond keeping kids safe, what should they be doing? What programs should be running? All of that kind of stuff. So it's kind of, in the past, this is what Dennis Finger did. In the past, this is what, you know, Tyler Barnell did. You know, Mark, I know that you played a part in that as well. But I think we need to write that on a piece of paper and say, these are your expectations, you know, moving forward. So yeah, I'm working with Casey, Chief Freitag, on that. So I plan on bringing that to the board, like we normally would for job descriptions. To be clear, the school resource officer and crossing guards together cost us $110,000. So right now we pay 75% of Casey Ebert's salary benefits. The city pays 25 for when he works there during the summer. And right now we pay 50% of crossing guards, and the city pays 50% of crossing guards. St. Martin's does not need a crossing guard anymore, so there's no cost occurred to St. Martin's anymore. Okay.
And just to be consistent with all the areas, zero reimbursements. Right?
Zero revenue.
So we pay 110.
110. Okay. Yeah. So that's the 75%, the 110.
And yes. The crossing guards.
Yes,
and
with the crossing guards.
And
yep.
50% crossing.
Okay. Yeah. How big of a need do we need the crossing guards for?
Can we get to that when we talk about possible other questions? Thank you, Mr. All right. Delaware Child Care Center. Again, every time I think that I know what I know, I don't know what I know. So what Patty, Jessica, and I did is we sat down and we said, what are different options for the future of the daycare? You know, what are some, because you can run it as is, that's option number one. If we do that option, run it as is, we're looking at roughly between a $300,000 and $350,000 deficit every year if we keep running it as is. Okay, $300,000, $350,000. So let's pretend, again, for those of you in YouTube world and newspaper, let's pretend that we go back to some of the original intentions and go to all part-time staff.
Can I say something there?
Yeah.
I reached out to the business manager that was with in the whole process of opening the daycare, and she doesn't remember ever talking about only part-time staff.
Did Holly own that?
Yeah.
Holly, or which one?
Holly.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, I have zero recollection of only part-time staff. Okay. Because the reason we were opening it as School District 1 was so that we could offer benefits.
I don't remember that. So if I'm misspeaking, I'm
nope,
sorry.
And I'm just telling you, I reached out to her, and that's what we discussed.
Okay. And I could be misspeaking, but I thought at one time we said that if it was we added benefits, that it would obviously shoot up the cost a lot. Because at one time, the Delwood employees had a very different handbook.
Yeah.
Than the school employees. And then we merged them because of shorting staff so that paras and lead teachers would essentially be equal on the pay scale and equal the salary benefits. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Troy, I believe that information is all in that study they did before starting up the daycare.
Okay. I would have to recheck that. But, okay. All right, so if we would go to all part-time staff, just pretend, we would lose our Young Star rating. Patty would estimate that we would lose right around 25 kids, and she would estimate we'd lose right around 90% of the staff because the majority of them are there for the benefits. Okay, that's no survey done, just estimating. The next thing that we talked about is, you know, what does it mean to be state licensed? State license has to do with ratios. It has to do with, is there an educational requirement? Is there an educational framework? It also talks about who governs the daycare. So right now, kind of the board governs it, but it follows the state and the YoungStar recommendations. So if we didn't have YoungStar, to my understanding, we could kind of do what we wanted to do within certain limits. So we, you know, you can't have 20 infants to one adult, you know.
Those ratios do not change.
Change, correct. When they get older, though, I think you can adjust the ratios, to my understanding.
They just adjusted
them. Yeah. I can't remember what, but they added, like, to the older kids.
Yeah.
They added a couple kids per adult.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
It was
just recently,
June. Yeah.
But those would not change with whether you're in YoungStar or not.
The YoungStar has to do with the minimum requirement of 30 hours a week for consistency, mm-hmm. meaning that staff would be eligible for benefits.
And the strict curriculum.
The strict curriculum that YoungStar guides, yes. Yeah, in order to receive the benefits. Again, another option, you know, which I thought maybe that this one would gain steam and be a compromise is, you know, what if we had a 4K, all day 4K? However, was it last week?
I'm looking into it more because I got more information, so.
Okay, so.
About the one,
but no. So right now we do not run an all day 4K and we get about 0.6 reimbursement, okay, per staff member. However, something came out last week. Per kid. Something came out last week that we don't have to do outreach requirements and we don't have to do this, and even if we had a full day session, we still would only get 0.6 per kid. We're questioning that.
What came out was when they came out with the budget was stating that you don't have to do the outreach anymore. I'm trying to get more clarification on the FTE for full day. Because it was 0.5 and 0.6 if you did your outreach. Now you no longer have to do outreach, is my understanding from the budget publication that had gone out. But we're still trying to get clarification on that. If you go to a 1.0 if they're full day.
Because we questioned the schools that do have full day 4K, are they going to lose money now? Because if they're just doing 0.6 across the board, that wouldn't make sense. You would actually lose money to go to full day. So we're questioning that at this point. You have to clarify that. All day 4K, what would happen is you would move that group of students to Fund 10 out of Fund 80. You would have certified staff, certified paras. So that would be an extra expense that would then move over to Fund 10, okay, if we did all day 4K. So right now, Madeline helped me. We have a full-time teacher and a full-time para in both 4K rooms. So we'd have to hire two more teachers and two more paras. The grants that we write basically cover a lot of the equipment, so nearly all of the daycare expenses are salary and benefits. We talked about food service, you know, how could we possibly save money in there? And then the last thing that I wanted to say is in your charts, this is why Madeline is here, the main reason. Thank you, Madeline. Who else?
Leslie helped make the chart.
Leslie Swinford.
Mm-hmm.
The question that was asked was, is there a statistical difference of students that attend the child care center versus students that don't? So Madeline and team basically got rosters of students that attended the daycare versus students that didn't, put them in charts. The students that are in blue are the daycare. Students that are in that orange color are not in the daycare. Simple conclusion, when Madeline and I looked through them, I'll make this statement. There's no statistical difference in my mind of students that attended the child care center versus students that didn't of their achievement 3 years after they left the daycare. There's no statistical difference. So most of them are nearly the same. Kindergarten is a little bit higher. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that you have to look at is that daycare has only been in existence for 5 years.
Yep.
And we have been developing over 5 years. So by looking at the older kids,
yeah,
with no difference, we've changed. We're no Young Star. We now have the curriculum. So I would put more stock in, since we've had the Young Star rating and the curriculum, to the kids that are
so like kindergarten, first grade, second grade.
We've only had Young Stars for 2 years.
Yeah, so kindergarten, first grade, second grade.
No, 4K.
Kindergarten.
4K and
first grade. Yeah, not even first.
Not
grade.
Even
okay.
First.
Okay.
4K and K.
Yep, that's a good point, Chris. So, I hope I satisfied the request. If not, you can drill me. That's what I know about expenditures in Fund 80. The one that Jessica and I, Nick, we still want clarification on this, is middle school athletics. Jessica and I just talked again before the meeting. If we move middle school athletics from Fund 80 to Fund 10, my question is, even though it's state aided, like, how much more state aid are we going to get? Because if middle school athletics is going to cost us $50,000, the whole reason it was moved over to Fund 80 is because that's a teacher. You know, that's kind of where I'm getting at, is that's why a lot of school districts run it in Fund 80, and correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, so it's not a Jessica move it for next year's budget, move middle school over to Fund 10, because as of right this morning, I directed her to keep it where it is.
You can move it, but it's going to increase your budget deficit if you move it for 2025-26.
Okay. All right.
So the deficit for the rec center is more than double than what the rec center, excuse me, what the daycare is. Correct.
I also, in taking notes, I wanted to be consistent all the way through. So I have what the total cost would be for everything, except the total cost for the daycare is that
back page
812.
Total cost.
Yeah,
for the
501.
Yeah.
And 501 is the revenue that we bring in.
Yeah.
So that's out of everything, the rec center and the daycare bring in revenue and pay part of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Okay.
Just remember, I'm the messenger.
Right?
I'm just asking questions.
No, that's fine. I think I did my job. If not, let me know. Any other questions? I mean, we have Nick, Jessica, and I'm the one that went around and gathered the data. Madeline, if you want to, I mean, it's hard. We talked about how do you measure behavior? How do you measure? I mean, you could do it write-ups, but that's inconsistent with teachers. And we tried to make it as standard as we possibly could.
There's a lot of variables. I mean, you could look at student attendance as well, and that might be impacting their academics. So.
Yeah. And there were some sample sizes that were so small.
Yeah.
They probably, that data probably should have just been not presented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't show that on you. We didn't give this group the raw numbers because you could have been able to figure things out if you knew the students.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we presented it the way we did.
Mm-hmm.
And the other question I have is, so we had a rate increase at the rec and at the child care. Did these numbers reflect that?
No, these were last year's numbers. The projected numbers are slightly higher. I mean, the rates that we raised, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars, not hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think that one time when I figured it out, you would have to charge every patron at the rec center like $800 a year to break even, something like that. And I wanted to say the daycare was, what did we say, $300, $320 a week to break even, something like that, running at our current. Something like that. It was close. Yeah. And then Marie, I remember you had presented that. That's not that far off.
Well, it comes out to be like $7 an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Youngstar in other school districts or aware of daycare?
Yeah. So I briefly met with Tigerton. Briefly met with Shiocton. Tigerton more than Shiocton. And Tigerton is. Brand new superintendent there, and basically head scratcher. You know, like we are doing the same thing. As long as the community is supporting it, we're just going to keep going as is. I don't think there's been a lot of questions asked. I do believe, I know I'm on video right now, but I want to say there's the main one of the other places in Tigerton are possibly closing. Like daycares are closing all over the place. Yeah, and it's...
The reason I ask is when I hear the word curriculum,
yeah.
It kind of gets cautious given the rules of Fund 80.
Yeah.
So as long as they're familiar with what the curriculum can be, more of the concern.
Yeah, and as far as I'm aware, I don't dictate anything over there besides hiring and terminated employees. Besides that, everything is dictated by Youngstar and what Patty gets from the States. I have zero influence. You're correct?
I have no influence, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask my
question? You can ask your question now, Mr. Engel.
All right. Okay, so you're saying, what is it, SRO is 90,000 a year.
Sure, give or take. Yeah.
So we're paying $20,000 for crossing guards.
Give or take. I don't know exactly, but sure.
Okay. I understand the one on the main drag.
Yeah.
But this one back over here by the gate there.
Yeah.
We have usually there's a police officer sitting there in the morning, and we have a crossing area right there that nobody uses.
I'll answer your question in a different way, okay, in a roundabout way. So I sat with Chief Freitag and Captain Schrader for a little over an hour, okay, and I said, what would the school district look like if we didn't have the police liaison officer? You know, so I'll get to your crossing guard. He goes, well, it would be based on priority and need. If you have a scuffle going on there, we're going to ask how bad of a scuffle. Because an accident is going to take precedence over a scuffle. If you're paying their salary, they do their immediate need at the school, unless we obviously need to pull them because there's something going on across town. But we take priority with that officer. So to your crossing guard statements, when we moved to a northern campus, we met with St. Martin's, myself, Chief Freitag, and we strategically placed the two crossing guards where they're at. And a good example of that is sometimes Casey is meeting with parents on a reentry meeting, a pre-expulsion, something like that. Or I'm trying to think, Arietta or those other ones, you know, they're on a call because there's something going across town. So with us paying those crossing guards, that means they're going to be there every morning. You can take a chance, but then I don't want to be in the paper because we didn't do something preventative. That's Troy Kuhn's opinion. It's no different than I discussed with Chief Freitag. Do you think it would be appropriate to put, does the Clintonville School District need a full-time SRO 1.0? You know, that would be a $90,000 savings right there. You know, do you put that on a survey or not? Well, what's the cost of this? What's the cost of that? What's the cost of having him readily available? And then if we cut that, some of the AODA, the sexual predator stuff, all of that goes away and we would have to hire that out.
Well, see, I'm not arguing about the SRO.
Yeah, I'm just...
But, you got one crossing guard on the main drag.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, I think every morning, I see a police officer sitting over by that brown little shack,
yep,
monitoring.
It's not great. I'm just
But
yeah,
I mean, so why is there a need for? I can understand afternoons when there's no officer there, but in the morning
there's not an officer there every morning.
No, there isn't.
And he's more looking for
speeders.
Speeders and those that run the stop signs. The amount of stop signs that get run.
According to our meeting, Chief Freitag and I felt that those were the two crossing guards that were needed in those places.
And if theoretically it's 90 grand for the SRO and you're looking at 20 grand for the two crossing guards, that's a $10,000 item if you would,
And I'm going to say that that's the $10,000 for the crossing guards each is actually going to be an overestimate. They do not make that.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm just saying, let's assuming one number. I agree with you.
So for full disclosure,
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So for full disclosure, so that everybody in this room knows this, my sister is the crossing guard on Harriet.
Yeah, okay.
So I have a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah,
like I said, just full disclosure.
Yeah, fair enough.
So we have two crossing guards currently.
Yep.
And that's what we've had for...
No, we had more, but that's when we had Rexford Longfellow. And then there was a crossing guard at the library or something there, but I want to say St. Martin's paid for that one.
Mm-mm.
No.
They never paid anything.
We paid for that one too. Okay.
Yeah. Where was the? We had one by Longfellow, and then we had one on the main drag. Where was the other?
By the library.
Yeah, the three-way intersection.
On the five-way intersection.
So we've already cut.
That weird intersection.
From three down to two.
Correct.
Okay.
Just then also remember that all the stuff we just talked about is all local taxes. It's not state-able. So, I mean, this stuff literally can be made at annual meetings or whatever. It's full school board control. Survey questions, Fund 80. I think that... You know, in me talking with Dean and me talking with School Perceptions, I know Jason's going to be on that call, Nick, Jessica, and Dean is also going to be on that call. I think we need to figure out, data? What are we going to do with the data when we get it? So we have to know what we're asking. So if you want to, I'm not going to touch the daycare with this, but I say, do you feel the school resource officer is needed at Clintonville School District? Like, what are you basing that on? Opinion? Because my child is fine, I don't have to worry about it? Are you basing it on, you know, school violence? Are you basing it on, you know, what is that? So now what if it comes back 70-30
to not have the police liaison officer? What are you going to do, school board? Are you cutting that position then? You know, those are the types of things I think we need to be aware of, and when we, if or when we do a survey, those are the types of questions we need to ask school perceptions, because they're the experts in this. I, and I know Nick, I'm going to speak for you, jump in. Nick and I know that we need to keep Fund 80 survey questions separate than possible Fund 10 questions so that the general public doesn't get them confused. Did I say that right, Nick? Ask a daycare question, what is that question going to be, and is there going to be an agreement of a threshold one way or another, that if it's 60-40 one way or another, we're going to make a decision, or you know, those are the types of things that we need to discuss before we just start throwing questions on a survey and all of a sudden go, oh, we didn't expect that.
So here's my take on it. If you start throwing survey questions out and you say to the general public, do you want to fund the rec center? I'm going to say, heck no, because I don't go inside of a gym. Do you want to fund a daycare? No, all my kids are grown. I pay $10 a thing. Do you want a liaison officer? Nope, I don't have any kids in school. So it's turning into more, to me, a popularity thing. I feel the question should be, do we continue to fund, because it's called a community service fund. We are not a profit organization. We are a community service. Do we continue to fund community service funds out of taxpayer dollars instead of singling it out? Because, you know, as a retiree, I'm going to say no to everything.
But if we have to ask eight different questions about Fund 80, I mean, then you're getting a really wordy survey. And how many people are really going to, you know, you don't want to overdo it.
I think Mark will be okay with sharing this. But you and I talked in my office the other day. You know, you don't use the airport. You know, you don't use the fire department. Your house hasn't burned down yet. You know, similar to what Chris was saying, is what you still pay for.
Pigeon Lake, that's on there. Fox Valley Tech, that's on there. I mean, we can name 10 things with the county. I mean, there's so much that the average person does not use that you have no choice, but you have to pay taxes for it. That's just the way it is. Like, I don't use human services in Wapaka. That's
part of it. I hope you're okay with me sharing that conversation.
Yeah, no problem.
So to echo off Chris, I think there's a difference when you start talking about the safety and spelling out a CSO officer.
Yeah.
Community, grandparents, everything else are going to look that way. If the intent of the survey is to go and get the true feeling for an operational referendum, is that not why we're doing it?
I don't know, Chris, to answer that question. I don't know if the intention of the survey is to lower taxes. I think that's one of the things that we do need to discuss, though, because our mill rate is high. That's been talked many times, which means taxes have been up. I think we have wonderful facilities. I mean, people come here from all over. I think that's great. But I think, to your point is, what is the purpose of this survey? Is it to community service? Well, then it's just to do all Fund 80 questions. If it's to pass an operational referendum, very different strategy behind
it. If we're going to go and have the general public air grievances, we can put a lot of questions out there and get all of them in front of us. I don't know that that's going to be productive or take us forward.
Correct.
I mean, because if you start asking other questions on that, besides the referendum questions, you're going to lose majority of your people to all these other questions before they actually concentrate on the referendum literature that we want them to concentrate on.
Now, with that, funding, there's some opportunities that could be cost shareable.
Yeah.
And to expand on that in a question would be more productive.
Well, I, here, I'll speak my two cents. If you pass a referendum, then you can maybe shift some of those costs out of Fund 80 into that, because then the shared revenue will help out the district. I think it's unwise to put the SRO on Fund 10 and
you mean middle school athletics
or anything. Yeah. If you put the SRO on Fund 10, you're losing a teacher plus. Yeah. I mean, I if we pass a referendum, then you look at those questions. And personally, I think the question of the essence is whether we pass a referendum. And I think those are the questions that should be on the questionnaire, and nothing else. They should be focused on the referendum. That would be my suggestion.
Well said. I agree.
Yeah, we'll get more direction from our kickoff meeting with School Perceptions, because they specialize in it. We'll report back, you know, to the board. But yeah, we're kind of all flying blind right now. I mean, Ben, maybe Chris, you've been through a survey?
Yep.
With school, Mark, I don't know.
I was on the survey committee.
Okay. All right, Lori. So some of you have some experience? I don't. I have zero experience. So.
There was a lot of tweaking. Because as soon as you got pages and pages of questions, people aren't going to answer them. They're
never going to read them.
No.
Yeah. And the questions that were the ones we had questions about ended up being near that 50% on either side. So the ones that got 48 got tossed, and the ones that got 51 got in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how it happened.
Oh.
When you start sending out a survey, and then you don't follow through with the survey results, I mean, people start to question you. Like, so, well, this is what the survey said. Why'd you waste the time and money on the survey if you aren't gonna listen to it?
So I think that's one of the things that we maybe ought to say up front, is that this is this binding, or is this is information that the school board will use to make.
That's a really good point.
I think that's important for the people who are answering the questions and for the people who are going to be looking at those results.
Yeah. Jason, anything from you as treasurer?
Is that's another billion three, whatever it comes out to be, that is a direct cost to the taxpayers on top of the other money we're going to be asking for. So, I mean, I look at it this way. Yes, there's a cost, and there's a cost to community services, whether, you know, it's this, that, or the other thing. You know, we look at, you know, like, you were just saying, you and Mark talked about, you know, you pay for things you don't lose, like use, like the fire department, this, that, and the other thing. But the thing about it is, those services are available to the entire community. Okay? The rec center, available to the entire community. Our child care center, only available to a certain number of people. You know, when we look at all these things, even though we've all talked about and all agreed that it's crucial and important to the community to have that daycare center, you know, available to the people that do use it and so on, because of the fact that others are closing down and things like that. It's still, at the same time, we have to continue to show the community that we're putting our best foot forward, trying to be fiscally responsible to all our taxpayers, period, no matter what it is. So, like, you and your staff, Troy, put through the efforts and talking through things with all the different Fund 80 things and, you know, everybody put their heads together to try to figure out, you know, cost savings, if at all possible, and any aspect of any of it, I think is a very important positive thing in showing our community that we are putting our best foot forward to try to be fiscally responsible for all the taxpayers, you know. So however you shake it, at the end of the day, that's the thing, because, you know, you brought up the high mill rate. When we look at the reality, our mill rate is in the top 10 of the state, you know, as far as the highest mill rates of school districts. So I think it's just important that we show people we're doing the best that we can and truly utilizing their money in the best way possible. And, you know, especially going this operational referendum, that money that we're asking for is truly going towards the education of the kids, you know, and that's where it's going to be used. I just think all of it's important. It's not just a pick it out. As far as, you know, what do we do with the results of the survey? I do agree that, you know, we make sure and put it out there for the people to know. It's important for them to figure it out. It's, you know, how we're hearing the voices of the people and using that information to assist the school board to make an educational decision on things moving forward. Does that mean if a poll comes back or a survey comes back and it's 52% don't want to fund the daycare and 48%, you know, do, does that mean we're closing down the daycare? I mean, I'm going to sit there all day and say no, you know, but if it's something that's 80-20, I mean, it's something we definitely got to take a serious look at and talk about, you know. So that's my two cents.
So here's my question. So you cut all these employees at Delwood down to part-time. You lose 90% of the staff, including the director. You lose 26 kids. You lose Youngstar. How is that benefiting our community?
Asking me?
Jason, how is that benefiting our community?
Nobody's saying that's benefiting anybody, Mark. It's one of the 45 different options and ideas that are out there. You know, the problem is, you know, we can't have candid conversation about different ideas amongst people and the fear-mongering gets put out there. That's what can't happen. So it's an idea of yes, this thing, doing this could save us money, doing this could save us money, doing this could save us money. Doesn't mean that tomorrow Troy's going to go over there and say, yeah, everybody's benefits are being cut. So, you know, we're going to cut everybody down to 20 hours a week. That's nobody's saying that. It's a idea or an option of the 10.
I mean, my feeling is if you compare Clintonville to Shawano, compare Clintonville to New London, there is no comparison. I mean, we keep losing things. Just like 2 weeks ago, we lost Subway. 2 months ago, we lost Spectacular Vision, also known as, 2020 or whatever it was called. I mean, we're continually...
One Vision.
I mean, we're continually losing stuff in this community. And these other communities just continue to grow. We're not.
I want to dovetail a little bit on something that you brought up that you and Mark had talked about, and kind of build it on what Jason said. Everything that's funded out of Fund 80 is not available to every taxpayer. I don't have any middle school kids. After school program doesn't affect me at all. I don't want that funded. Crossing guards, I don't have any kids in school. They're not crossing there. So why should we fund it? And I guess I'm still going back to, we are not a for-profit business. Get that out of your head. We are a community service agency. And we have to provide some things that might cost some money. But it's for the good of the community. And just because maybe I was financially able to pay my $5 an hour for daycare, thank goodness I don't have young kids now, because it's $12,000-$15,000 a year, and that's on the cheap end. We have to keep and help these families in our community in that regard. And it's not going to be everybody, because we all don't have kids.
I'm legitimately asking this question. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to weigh in on something. I echo you on that. When I was at the board meeting a couple of weeks ago, we talked strategically about what we wanted to do and funding and the direction we wanted to go. And I think we have set some pretty strong direction there that I just would ask the board to try to remember, that we're going to look at setting some short, mid, and long-term goals in Fundini, and try to keep that focus there and try not to limit to just one thing or the other. Like, we're looking at Fundini as a whole. And I just feel like listening right now, we're getting a little sidetracked on different topics, opposed to just, we're going to look at Fundini as a whole, and we're going to do our best to be good financial stewards to the district and to the community. And I just would ask that we try to keep that strategic focus as we continue to have conversations like we did that night.
I do want to ask one question just for the sake of the group. Is anybody aware of childcare run other oversight other than schools, churches, private home, and I think YMCAs might have childcare services, and businesses.
Boys and Girls Club.
And school. Are there, there's no city, like, no, anything
nothing
else
city.
That I'm missing?
I've never heard of a city one.
Okay. I'm just curious. Okay.
Well, getting on what Nick just said,
yeah.
And with what Ben said, I think we need to put this Fund 80 survey aside, keeping it in our head, and start working on this referendum question. That's just my feeling. Because that's all part, and it's operation versus Fund 80. And it's separate items. That's what we talked about at the last meeting.
We'll get more regarding that tomorrow from 2 to 3. During our kickoff meeting with school perceptions, they can give us some more direction on that. We can ask those questions. All right. Okay, move on?
Yep.
You want me to preface, Jessica, and then you can.
Sure.
So, what we can and what we can't do with 25-26 budget proposal is we can look at expenditures. We can't finalize revenue because we don't know that until October 15th. Two things that we changed, I would say this last week, is we added more money to our early college credit now, because we have a lot of kids doing dual credit, start college now. And we also added money to, pupil services based on our needs of students, because remember the email of multiple families moving into the district, so we put additional salary and benefits and costs into Fund 27 to support students with special needs. Those were the two things that we did. We still have retirement money put aside for Fund 73, and we have $200,000 set aside for Fund 46. Yeah, I'm getting good at this. All right. Now you can go.
So I kind of went through the budget again and kind of was looking at where we can, because we had such a surplus, where we can kind of look at the accounts that we can dwindle down a little. There are still some that I'm working on finalizing, but so far, based on that, just looking at expenditures, we've cut out about, with the additions that we had, we've cut out about $20,000 so far, so we're still looking at about that 1.6, depending what happens with revenue, we're looking at that 1.6 deficit. Again, that could change depending on what happens with the numbers. I don't think the numbers are going to change a whole lot from what we budgeted, but it will change. Just depends on how it's categorized and stuff. But there are some more that I kind of want to look at and see too, because like I said, we had that such that big surplus. Like we haven't had a chance yet to sit down and look at the maintenance one, for an example, with all of the, how we had the different buildings. We didn't have the, we didn't have rock, what was it called, boxes? Yeah, that one. But we didn't really look at those numbers yet to finalize what they were versus what we budgeted, so that would project those and kind of hopefully get that number down more.
So to be clear, we cut about $250,000 as of a week ago, and then this last week we added about $200,000 back for early college credit start now programs and special ed.
And because of the having to increase in special ed, that would increase our transfer from Fund 10 to Fund 27.
Yeah, from adding another bus route to just needs in general for Fund 27. So you'll get, obviously, the more detailed one at the annual meeting, but we're sitting at roughly 1.5 to 1.6, I think, is the comfortable deficit number. I mean, we can easily adjust that back down to 1.2 if we don't put money aside for retirements and we don't put money aside for maintenance. Then we can cut $300,000 like that tomorrow, but then it's just kicking the can farther down the road.
So the 1.6 doesn't include anything for this.
Nope, I didn't get to that.
Yep. Okay.
It just puts $200,000. That includes $200,000 towards the fund 46.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could go towards improvements that are part of
your plan. I'll lead into that, Chris. So let's just pretend we choose not to go to referendum at all. I would still say we have a $1.6 million deficit. That means that the $200,000 is going to be set aside for 3 years to repair the track. Okay, so that's what we're going to do for 3 years, to repair the, you know, to repair the track, and we don't do anything else. Now, my suggestion at this point is we don't ask for 1.6. If we were going to go to operational referendum, and we got to figure out the number, is it 2? Is it 2.2? Is it 2.4? Nick's going to cut me off any second and say, Troy, let me put it in the formula chart and the projections, and I'll give you the actual numbers. You know, we're not there quite yet, but we're getting there. But to what Chris was alluding to, you know, these are the final numbers from Hoffman and Rettler. So we know the track is going to be around 600,000. If you want to do the whole athletic complex, it's going to be around 4 million. So if we have 1.6, you're going to have to go to 2.4 just to do the athletic complex. If you want to do anything above that, if you want to do the baseball, softball, if you want to do the parking lot, if you want to do anything else, you're looking at closer to 3. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, where we're at with that. I did want to discuss this in detail, because I would rather have this on the next board meeting. Okay, I think it's the land use committee and the finance committee have kind of dwindled this down. Ben, we'll talk about this at the land use committee a little bit more, but I just wanted to get that out there that these are the final numbers if we want to do that.
When we did previous surveys, these options, there's questions.
Yep. And Ben and I talked, and Jason and I talked at the land use committee. you know, if we put out a survey, minimum we know we have to do the track in the next 5 to 7 years. So do you put on a survey, athletic stadium? Would you support an athletic stadium or just the track? Because again, now if you just say the track, and now in another 10 years, we need to rip out all the football field and start over. That's going to be another $500,000. So again, are you going to do everything at once because you already have the equipment here? Or are you going to do it in bits and pieces? You know, that's kind of like, of course, the Rettler Hoffman sales pitch is, well, while you have the equipment here, you might as well do X, Y, and Z. You know, but that's something for the board and the land use and whoever else to make recommendations.
Not only that, you put a brand new track in, and then the football field needs to get done. Are you going to drive over to that brand new track with a bunch of equipment?
That's not
the thing that's going to tear your out. Well,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the special education.
Yeah.
I know there's. It was said that we're sending more kids out.
I don't like that statement. I would like to say we are giving kids the services that they
need.
Well,
yeah, okay, sending more kids out to get more services that they need. Would it be more cost effective to maybe train the special education department back or train them up to be handling this instead of that much of, because I know we have to, as a school district, we have to pay whoever we do to get their needs
transportation
met.
Transportation and then services.
Yeah.
So we do not, Clintonville School District does not have an internal alternative school. And what does alternative school mean? Does it mean mental health, behavior health? Does it mean, you know, with severe intellectual disabilities? You can go a variety of places. So are there some kids that are $50,000 kids or even $100,000 kids? Yeah, they are. But that is the federal requirement that we need to do to support these kids. You know, we don't have a choice, especially when they live in our district. I think all of our special ed paras are trained cross-CAP. They should be trained to do everything. Do we have experts? We have people that have more experience in some areas than another.
Yeah.
3 years ago, we used to have emotional behavioral rooms. We don't have that anymore. We have kids with behavior disabilities in the normal general public with para and cross-CAT support. We don't seclude them in a room and say, you're a behavior issue, go sit in that room half the day. But that's, again, it's all based on IEPs and needs. What we didn't prepare for this year was the influx of students, because we were 100% prepared for day one until registration came and, oh, a whole bunch of kids moved into our districts. How are we going to support this kid? How are we going to support this kid? How are we going to support that kid? So then what we need to do is evaluate all the caseloads, either switch case manager roles, do this, do that, and then determine what services, what would best fit kids' services beyond the walls of this district? What would best fit that individual student?
Well, see, I'm not knocking any of you guys' stuff. It's just I'm wondering if we could get a little more like the training aspect of it. Maybe we could retain the kids here in their school district. Instead of, and I mean, would it be cost effective to send some staff out for more training and be able to do that? Or is it more cost effective just to do an external?
Yeah, to have a child receive outside services, and I'm probably going to get eat up over this one because it's from what I know. You're talking $20,000 a year to $80,000 a year, maybe more, depending on what the services the child needs. So let's just pretend it's behavior related. We would have to get a behavioral specialist in-house then where's the location? Where are they going to be? How are they going to do X, Y, and Z? Are we going to have an administrator oversee that? Okay. You know, there's so much more to it. We have hemmed and hawed many times about creating an alternative school. You know, they used to have an alternative school here, right, back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
So cost-effectiveness is out the door to have train up for staff to do it then. It's just...
No, I'm going to disagree with you. We're always training staff, but when it comes down to the services the kid actually needs, I would have to hire five or six specialists in different areas for this one kid, that one kid, that one kid.
So in other words, we just don't have the ability to kind of help the child progress as they need to.
I'm going to be very careful of this. If we were a Green Bay or a De Pere school district,
they have the funding.
They're huge. So they probably have a multiple of kids that have the same needs. They're going to hire a specialist for those kids. Now, if you're other school districts that are smaller than us, they don't have anybody. So they have to hire CESA for support. So you have people coming in once a week to meet their IEP. We're kind of the middle of the road. So what Lexi has done a very good job is determining where do we need CESA services, where do we hire our own, for example, occupational therapy, right? We now have our own occupational therapist, extremely cost effective because we have a lot of kids with OT needs, okay? But we don't have a full-time physical therapist, yes. We have a PTA, so we have to hire a PT from CESA to oversee that. So in a district our size, it's really... How many kids with those needs? Is it more cost effective to hire that service or not?
Pretty much the onesies and twosies are the ones for them.
Yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
Well, when you look at the amount of students with special needs in our district, we're right around 25%, which is high.
That's
okay.
Very high. Very
so a couple of years ago, we hired a full-time school psych. A couple of years before that, I think we're paying $800 or $900 a day for a school psych. So we finally hired our own. So yeah, we have to look at that.
Okay.
But again, what it comes down to is what is in the IEP for the kids.
Okay.
We have to provide the services one way or another.
That's all I was wondering because, I mean, would it be one way or the other cost effective to do the training or just...
And what we have found this last week even is the specialists are even trying to determine which kid they're choosing. No, we can't handle these services. You need to figure it out on your own in the district because there are lots of needs.
I just wish there was more these kids out there for funding because I see it everywhere where these kids are just left on the wayside in other smaller communities. But that's a whole government issue there.
You can go really down a rabbit hole depending on how you look at it because there are problems with the very large districts as well.
And that may be outside the scope of the Finance Committee meeting tonight.
Correct. Yes. But yeah, special ed funding, Lexi, Jessica, I, Nick, we're all over that. And like I said, Lexi has done a wonderful job of balancing that, or I shouldn't say balancing, probably back, but now we're like, okay, how far do you cut back while putting stress on all the other employees? You know, you have to provide services. So. Any recommendations to the board? Probably, yeah, I'm thinking we have to get more information from School Perceptions. I think that we determine the route as a committee of the whole from the board on how to move forward. I don't know. Jason, do you have anything you'd like to add as kind of the chair?
No, I'm on that same page with you, bro. There's some things we still need to look into, and like you said, once we sit down and talk with them, hopefully they'll paint the letter or light on some things and we can move forward here quickly.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. There you go. just be the referendum. Because you're going to lose so many people if you start asking all these other questions.
And back to your question, Chris, I told Drew that I would be the firing squad once we had better direction on what we were going. I think that's part of my job, right? I think it's part of my job, Jessica's job. You know, once we have a direction, we have to have answers to questions.
You're already mentally preparing, I can tell.
Yes. All right. 7:14, come on.
We're out of here.
We're out of here. All right, 7:14, go Brewers. Not Cubs, Nick. Nick's a Cubs fan, by the way.
Well, he has to have some.
Oh, man! Wow.
Get Bolton for his bad choices.
I guess it's like I'm sure. At least I own it.
All right, see ya. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Jason.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, okay. Yeah, again. Well, people are.
Yes, I don't know.
Friday. Yeah. Yeah, they're getting the beginning, but I think. Yeah. Did you understand the message I sent
you this morning? No, I have no idea what you're referencing. I gave up trying to figure it out. I don't even know what I said.
I think your exact words were, yeah, and Troy just came to me to do this, and my brain immediately went to, family needs to sign up for, now I just lost it, aspiring district administrator.
There's time for that. Not right now. I literally cannot. There's no way. No, and I still don't know what I was even talking about when I said that.
Hold back up.